Welcome to the Primal Priestess Podcast. I know it's been quite a while between pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. I took a break from recording, but we are back. And in this episode, we have Kate Stedman. Kate is a real estate agent from Raleigh, North Carolina, who helps clients make embodied, clear choices with their investments. She is also a business coach who guides other agents to hone in on their unique abilities. And today you'll hear us chat on the cosmic turn of events that called her to leap into energy work and My Container Inner Mastery, which ended up being a foundational business course for her career expansion. We also chat on the frequency of force versus softening as a path to manifestation as she learned to shift from making choices in logic to making choices from her body, really going against all she was ever taught in real estate to carve out her own path to success. Kate also opens up about how understanding her nervous system and its relationship with money has changed a lot for her, and we dive into the stories that we hold about scarcity, patterns, and how to break them. Finally, we chat on pregnancy loss, radical acceptance, and creating space within for normal biological responses as she integrates her own grief. If you like what you hear today, stick around to the end where I'll share more about inner mastery. Enjoy the episode. Welcome. Today I have the lovely Kate on, and I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself in just a moment. But first off, I want to say, Kate, I'm so excited to be doing this with you today. I've been following your story, I think, for probably, has it been a year now?
Yeah,
about a year. Yeah. And just watching the ups and downs and like all the cosmic unfoldings along the way has been so exciting. And I love being able to drop in with you in sessions over the past year and then in Inner Mastery and just see how it's evolving for you. And I've loved it so much that I wanted you to come share it here. So yeah, would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to. And I'm so excited to be doing this. I've been looking forward to it ever since you asked me. But yes, my name is Kate Stedman. I am a real estate agent and a business coach. So I help homeowners make empowered and embodied decisions buying and selling real estate with a focus in the Raleigh area of North Carolina. I also help entrepreneurs and especially real estate agents hone their unique ability. So I lead trainings at my brokerage of Choice Residential. I also meet with agents one-on-one. So it is truly my absolute passion to speak with people about what lights them up, where they spend their time, what their hobbies are, what their goals are for the future, and to take threads from all of that to help them weave either an offering or a brand positioning or strategy that just really lights them up, that is sustainable and exciting and feels so obvious because it's so authentic to them, but is also so nuanced to what they're going through and how they have this offer to present the world. And so I love witnessing that. It is my passion to be a cheerleader for people that are on their path and whatever that looks like. So that's a little bit about me. And I was also an Inner Mastery participant this most recent round.
I love the really, as I said, before we were recording this, just that it's such a different world than the world I'm in, than the real estate. And that you've been able to bring this depth to the real estate agents. And I actually know a couple of women that I talk to frequently who are real estate agents who have been in and out of the struggle of just like feeling more activated, feeling more in their mystic nature, but also still in this heavily male dominated world and kind of figuring out where they fit in. And so I really love that you've carved out this space for yourself, but also for your clients. As someone who's I'm actually in process of closing right now, but the last thing I want to go do is kind of be in this really stale energy. What I would say is more stale. And so, gosh, I wish you were local. I would hire you to be my real estate agent.
I would love that. Well, and it's funny because it's obviously been such an evolution, and we all start somewhere. Definitely the more embodied side of it is come over the past few years, but it's something that I have felt a pull towards because I felt it was so missing in our industry. It is so sales focused, and it can feel a little slimy, and people don't know what to expect, and they feel like they're going to be sold something. And from the agent's perspective, it's very much, this is how you should run your business, and this is what you should do to be successful. And it's also copy and paste. And that's just not something that's resonated. And I look at home ownership in the process of buying or selling, and it's such a big monumental life moment. And I feel like people used to be so good about creating traditions in their life and ceremony around big decisions. And I felt that there's reverence missing to that. And so I try to be more intentional about weaving that in while still focusing on strategy, but making the heart side of it a little more intentional. But it's funny because when we were talking about all of this, and you mentioned that you wanted to bring me in to talk because I kind of took it from a business perspective. It's funny because I signed up for every reason and also no reason at all. But as a business owner, it feels so obvious that every person who is an entrepreneur should be doing this if they're a woman. Like, you talk about it in your stories all the time, but truly, the more you start to recognize it, the more obvious it is that your relationships and your conversations and your business, they're all mirrors to your internal world. And so, if you're an entrepreneur and therefore someone like myself who very much feels like my business, I am my business, then any investment in me is an investment into my business. And I want to be growing personally and professionally. And so, of course, I need to start with a foundation and a framework for that. So, knowing I'm an intuitive person and I will know what is for me in that moment, I didn't need some copy and paste strategy from something else that was a band-aid based on where my business currently is. I wanted something that I knew would be an investment in myself. And so I know as businesses grow, they invest more and more in coaching, and I knew coaching was something I wanted to invest in. So it felt so obvious that this is where I should start because it's truly the foundation of it. And so if you need an excuse, it's like a business right off the shore, but like you won't need it. It's like the foundation of everything.
It's a great business write-off. I say that about every time I'm gonna invest in something that's a little bit more luxurious. I'm like, can I make this a business write-off somehow? But
It has
this
to
one
be.
really is, because I think there is, as you said, the foundations. And as you and I have talked about, and as I talk about frequently, just the need for inner clarity as an entrepreneur. That's actually been one of my husband and I both moving into entrepreneurship in the past couple of years. Like, wow, like we have to be the ones to make the next step. We have to be the ones to make all of the choices to find to build the vision and to get bigger. And so being able to move forward with knowing what a full body yes feels like, knowing what a full body no feels like is so important. And that's really something I wish more people knew, and wish something I if I could go back and tell myself as I was starting out as a doula and a midwife years ago, that it was going to be a very hard road until I turned within and kind of figured out how to flow. You're trying to price things, you're trying to figure out how to market, you're trying to talk to clients, and it's like, can you even be in your own body with money? But what's your money story? Because if you're trying to then sell something and talk to someone about prices, all of the stories that you haven't worked through are going to come to the surface. So.
Yeah, and I know you've mentioned it, and it's you meet with a lot of women, I meet with a lot of agents especially, and it's just so obvious when someone is sitting in front of you and they are coming with some dissatisfaction of some sort. They normally can't name it. They can't really say what it is that they want to change, but they're sitting in front of you and they want you to fix it. And it's you can see kind of that they want to save you in some way, and you're like, no. It's not even a business thing. Like, we have to peel it back. It's an internal world thing, And so I think I thought about this last night as I was figuring out what I wanted to say, and I hadn't pieced it together until then. But to your point of taking action, I feel like signing up for inner mastery in and of itself is almost a bit of an initiation because you are taking a big step for embodied action, and you are being intentional about it. And I think that's really important. Also, whether we approach it from a business perspective or from a life perspective, we run into the same things time and time again. And ideally, we're approaching them a little bit better each time. But what would it look like to not run into that? And what who would I need to be to change that narrative? What is happening in my life that's attracting it? You talking about clarity, it's kind of all about, can you recognize your own blind spots? And can you have like the framework to be able to do that objectively and to witness where that's showing up and where it's intentional and where it's programmed, and then to kind of break it down.
Yeah, exactly. And this is great leeway into, what I wanted to ask you about, which was tell me about the kind of work you were doing maybe like a year ago versus what you're doing now. I'm thinking about a few real estate agents I know who follow me, and I'm like, ooh, I bet you have some great advice for them. And like, what is that paradigm shift actually look like in this kind of more like official business realm?
Oh, that's such a great question. I mean, so thinking of how I was showing up last year, I think the short answer is I very much was in a season of rest. And I think in that moment I did know that. But there were some things that I recognized kind of at the be end of last year, heading into this year, where I realized I was ready to be in a place of action and I was ready to no longer be playing small. I kind of realized that that was something that I was doing. And so there were things that I was trying out and I was making good money and doing what I needed to do, but I felt a little stale and I felt I had made a lot of changes, but I wanted to see how I could continue making those and intentionally, not just for the sake of doing more, but how could I actually do less and show up in that way. And so I just wanted to find a way that really led people in the way that resonated with me. I know I talked about it before, but looking at coaching, I spend a lot of time talking with agents and I absolutely love it. And so often it's these little things about their personality that they might not have thought of in terms of weaving it into their brand and how they show up and like the things that you're already doing. What if we changed our perspective and saw that as part of your business? And so it's been hard for me to resonate with, quote, a business coach, because I'm not going to be that person where someone shows up and I say, okay, you need to do this many calls, or this is how you are going to see success, and more. Like it has to be so nuanced. And so I was trying to figure out a way to show up for my agents in that way. And I think that some of the strategies that we learned from Inner Mastery just really helped with that. So I guess one of the things very tangibly that's coming to mind at the moment is just the witnessing in knowing that as someone who is guiding others, it isn't your role to fix anyone, but we're simply here to witness in the power of that. And I think recognizing actually how rarely that happens, which is just crazy that by sitting and listening, it can heal people. Wild freaking thought, you know? But so I was talking to this agent. I was talking to this agent and we just really connect, and she had mentioned to me that the reason she wanted to meet was to get her mojo back. And her business has a lot of seasonality. And for her, those seasons look very different than they do to others. So there was a certain level of comparison that was very much coming into play. So for her, her falls and winters have always been busy and her summers are slower. And that's been the rhythm. And she wanted to change that. It had worked for her family in the past, and now she's ready to ramp things up. And so we talked about different things that she could be doing, and we worked through a number of scenarios. And then we got to the end of it, and I just looked at her and I said, you know, I just can't help but feel like maybe there's nothing to fix here. And I think instead, maybe we just aren't seeing your season of rest for what it is. I think that everyone has their own season. It is a biological law. We have a season to plant, to grow, to harvest, and rest. Sure, your rest might not be in the winter when it looks like everyone else's is, but we're discounting it if we're not letting you lean in. And it was just crazy to see. We'd spend an hour on the phone, and the whole time I hadn't realized it until I said that. Her whole body relaxed. And it was like this permission that, and granted, and I think a lot of it is recognizing the permissions that people need to hear and knowing we're not the person to give them. You don't need to hear this from me. You already know this. I'm just here to be the mirror to say, this is what you're not seeing for yourself. And you have every right to see it, by the way. And just because it's not tangible doesn't mean it's not valuable. And so we kind of worked through that. And she was like, yeah, I've just always thought that rest has no value. And so we just kind of talked through like, it's actually probably that society says you have no value when you're resting because you're not producing anything for it, you know, but it's just as important. And so we then worked through leaning in more to the seasons that she's on so that she could really lean into her rest. So that's one of the ways that I kind of think of immediately and it showing up. I also just feel a lot more confident in how I manifest things, even just in my personal life, which I love that I have a structure for now.
Yeah. I want to talk about your personal life.
Go for
Tell me
it.
about where you were right at the beginning of Inner Mastery when you sold when you sold
Oh
your
my
house on a whim.
God. Yeah.
Tell me the story.
Okay, so I'll just tell you both of them. So we bought and then I sold. So I mean, I'm in real estate. We got a lot of real estate going on in our life at the moment. So at one point, my boyfriend and I had been talking about the fact that, we wanted to buy multiple investment properties and ideally be in a place where that is what is bringing in the income for us. And I'm big on manifesting and action. I'm like, we've got to start with one. I have one back and that was mine, but if we want to start building it, we have to start purchasing more. So we took one very small embodied step and met with an agent because it was an area that I wasn't ready to service. And we did one day of tours and we looked at a few resale and one new construction community where some of our friends already lived, and we absolutely fell in love with this house. Like, it was exactly what we wanted. It was on a cul-de-sac lot. It backs up to an animal sanctuary. It has the perfect light for our plants. Like, it just, I knew it, and we weren't even really looking. And so we end up going through the process. There were a few people circling that weekend, and I just knew it was for us. And so, all weekend, I knew it's going to fall off and it'll just be ours. And that kind of was the case throughout the whole process. And then, financing and in any purchase process is difficult. And so we get towards the end and we reach that inevitable point where financing wants something and we're trying to get them something. And we just keep hitting this wall. And it was so stupid. It was one of those things where they needed updated statements, understandably, but it's an online bank and their entire statement system is down. You can't access it online. You call them, they can't access it. You can view your entire account, but not the statements, right? And so there is no workaround. It has been this way for days. And I finally just, I'm like, I'm pushing and pushing and pushing. And emotionally, I'm at a breaking point. I'm like, I know I do this all the time. Or my poor clients, like, it is just, this is a process. And I finally just give it up. And I just say, you know what? I'm sick of worrying about this. I can't do it anymore. Like, I firmly believe this house is for us. I absolutely love it. I have believed that from the moment we saw it. And if it is not for me, I know that it is not for me. And there is a reason for that. And if that's the case, then I'm ready to let it go. And after a week of pushing, within hours, we had a solution that didn't involve any of those things that we needed. And so it was just kind of the perfect example of, like, you've got to let go of your expectations. You can have a beautiful vision for what you want to manifest and know that to be true. And you also just have to completely release whatever that expectation is. So that was kind of a lead up. You're doing all of that.
Yeah.
And then inner mastery goes to start. And there are a number of ways that I've tapped into your offerings in this world. And your stories are one of them. Your smaller offerings or another. I think I've done pretty much all of them. Your money workshop, I want to talk about that later, but oh my God, they like changed my
Oh.
life. It just really makes you think about things in a way you hadn't realized. And
Yeah.
so anyway, so leading into this, one of the things that I'd done, I was watching your stories and there's so much value to be gained just from your stories. That was part of what made me sign up is I'm like, oh my gosh, I've gotten so much from you just by proxy. I can't wait to find out what I would receive and how I would grow from being an intentional invested community with you, but so leading into that, you're promoting inner mastery. I'm circling, I'm making all the excuses. And you mentioned on your stories, one of the things that you've been meditating on or focusing on is what you feel like you're forcing in life and what it would look like to do the opposite. And so I start to meditate on that too. And just for a little background, I'm in real estate, right? I own a property. I was born and raised with in a family where they also had investment properties. So I very obviously understand the value of a long-term investment in real estate. The longer you have it, the more equity you gain and the more money you make. And when you buy something, you should live in it yourself and then rent it out. And these are the stories I have always been told, and they make sense to me. And a year and a half ago, my boyfriend and I decided that we're ready to take the jump and move somewhere new together. And I turned what was my first home into a furnished rental, like a midterm spot. And it looked gorgeous. I put some good money in it. I have a number of other Airbnbs, so this is something I know how to do. I had it as a 6 month minimum because it's a townhouse and that's what they allow, but I got the perfect tenants in it and it looked stunning when they left, you know? And so when they moved out, I just kept telling myself the perfect people are going to replace them. Like it looks better than when they got there. 2 months prior to them leaving, I'd had two people reach out that were willing, that really wanted it. The timeline just didn't work. I just know for a fact that the perfect people will fall in my lap. It might be a small pool of tenants based on timeline and need, but I know it's for someone. And they move out and it sits. And I'm like, no. Like, excuse me. Let's go. And I'm just staying positive and I'm just meditating in the ways that it's worked for me in the past. And I drop in this meditation and I ask myself that. I'm like, well, I very obviously feel that I'm forcing the rental of my property. I've dropped the rate. I've considered unfurnishing it. I have had three inquiries for doing just that. That sounds like a lot of work. I don't know if I will get another great tenant. I had someone reach out with a pet. I just replaced the carpet. I don't want to do that, right? It all felt very leaky. And so that was my answer, was I feel that I'm forcing the rental. And so what would be the opposite? What if I sold it? And so here I am sitting with this thing that I thought I would literally keep forever for decades. And the idea of selling it ends up feeling really good. And I notice that my body relaxes. I'm like, wow, like I thought I would keep this forever. And here I am. And damn, that feels good. And not only does it feel easy, but it feels in alignment. It feels empowering. Like I sat with it for a few days and I kept checking in that way. And I had a number of signs that were just really pointing towards that. And I just ended up feeling really good. And it was just one of those like hell yes moments where, I mean, I dropped in for like 10 minutes. And I deconstructed this belief that I had had, which I do still absolutely believe to be true. It just wasn't true for me. And it wasn't true for me in this moment. And the knowledge that it was that simple to change your beliefs and take action on them. And I think that people are so afraid to do that. And that just was such a catalyst. And so you'd done all that. I'd followed that. And then you posted in your story, like Inner Mastery was ending, like the enrollment. And she's like, people will move mountains to be in here. And I was like, hell yeah, we will. You know, like, don't get me wrong. I didn't like sell my house to go in Inner Mastery, you know, but like, I was just like, hell yeah. Like, I am ready to take embodied action in my life. So, anyway.
I remember this post because there I remember I was like, if you want to be in this container, like try it out, see if you can move a mountain to make it happen. Because that's how so many of my investments have been. Like when I invest into myself, like I get stuck in this loop of like, oh, like there's too many things. It's all the reasons why and all the things, even if it's not money, but just like the other things in my life going on. And then that is inner mastery right there. That is the work right there where we, you know, not even inner mastery as the container that I teach, but just inner mastery as a concept of mastering your inner world is recognizing when you're in that pattern and being like, oh, that's a call for me to drop in and let my body lead. And this is what I really love about your story here is this, you saying like, you know, everything you know about real estate and buying and investing is like, you don't just sell this, you know, but letting your body lead and taking that leap is something that is so difficult, I think, for the majority of women. In a very logistical world that glorifies that whole process of everything making sense and doing things by the book. You know, there's a reason I call this the initiation into the mystic, because this really is where we shift the paradigm and we come into body and we're like, okay, what does it look like to really let my body lead to create the containers? As you said, you know, 10 minutes in frequency. Having the form experience or your body actually somatically shows you what the answer is. And then it brought you right to where you needed to be, which is, I don't think you just told it, but then you jumped into Inner Mastery, you sold your house and you sold your property. And now do you see why you needed to do it? Does it make sense now when you look back?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I want to actually circle back for a second because I ended right there, which is pre-inner mastery, but obviously that was just the decision to settle, right? And to as I'm going through the process of inner mastery, then I'm going through that actual sale. And so I've made this decision. And as I'm sitting through all of this, I realize I deconstructed this entire belief. Let me see what else I need to like really evaluate. And so I start to begin to dissect what narratives I hold true about selling property and about moving and whether I believe them. And so I just go through this series of asking myself these things, okay, moving is always terrible. It takes a lot of work. It's exhausting. Selling is stressful. I broke down every single piece and I always followed it in with, okay, but what if it wasn't? And then I just started naming what it would look like for each of those pieces to not be so terrible. Like if I can name the worst case scenario, I can damn sure name the best. And even if I can name the best, then you know what? I'm gonna land somewhere at least above worst case, you know? And so it, moving is terrible. Okay, what if I didn't have to move anything? What if I didn't have to prepare much? What if all I had to do was some minimal work that really just felt like me pouring love into my house? What if love is what sold it? What if I promised to make a clean energy exchange and knowing that I'm bringing an incredible asset filled with love that's well maintained and polished to the best that it can be and presented this to a buyer, know that she feels like she's going to get exactly what she wants out of it. And in one of the things that I also learned from your stories that felt so small in the moment, but it's something I do every day is just the power of using your hands in meditation and manifestation. I am one of those people, I always kind of thought that like meditation was all boring, you know, like how am I supposed to sit here and not do
Same.
anything?
I also
But
find it very boring.
if I can use my hands though, like anything's possible. I can cherry pick my ideal scenario from the clouds and just pull it down to my heart and integrate it. I can act like I am gathering sand and like pulling all the wealth towards me. I can act like I'm holding something and working it down or taking pressure. I feel often it's like something sitting on my chest. I can take it off physically with a handful of energy and throw it off if I don't want, right? Like, and those small things feel so silly, but I really worked on every single piece of those. Cherry picking it from the clouds and working on that. And more than that, not just visualizing, but I've come to learn that my secret sauce is if I can feel myself in the space of that success, in the space of that moment, in the space of the abundance, in the space of the peace of it all, and have a regulated nervous system while I am there, then I can make that happen for myself. And so just as much as it takes, I'm sitting there in okay, not having to prep much. Okay, the sale is actually really easy. What would that look like? And it ended up being exactly that. I ended up sending two texts asking if I could borrow a dining room table for staging. And I sold my whole house of furniture in one go to a friend. They moved it out while I was under contract. I literally only had to take some crap from my attic to Goodwill. I flew home for 10 days and got it ready in a weekend. I did some small paint updates and then literally just kind of prayed over each room. And then I did a home blessing party instead of an open house. I got an offer and accepted on my flight home.
Oh.
And it was like, boom, you know? So it was insane to see how easy it could be. And I know that's one of the things that you say all the time in Inner Mastery and otherwise, of how simple can you make it? And that was just such a big moment for me to realize that something that's so big could be so easy. So that was really interesting. But you know, I kind of have taken that approach into the rest of life. And so using that as I'm like, anything is possible. You can really paint that into anything. And that was something that I really wanted to share because it continued through all of it.
Yeah, and as you know, but maybe some of the listeners don't know, I like to use the mirrors as my favorite word for this because it really is a mirror. Once we crack the code in one area of our life, if we can just recognize, oh my gosh, if I could just tell all women, I'm like, you only have typically one problem. Women who think they have it, people think they have problems in all these different problems in all these different areas. I'm like, oh, it's just one problem. I promise. Like, it's just the same problem. You're doing it everywhere. So if you can crack the code in one, as you talk about like softening and like allowing things to just be, you can just string it into everything else in your life. I always, it's like a cheat code. It is the cheat code to get through the level you're at.
Well, and it's such a that the witnessing, the recognizing the mirrors, and just asking yourself if you're forcing. And obviously, that was such a big example, but it really isn't how you show up every day. If you're driving in chaotic traffic and you're like, people have a death wish, they're all out here being wild, this is going to end terribly. Like, okay, are you showing up with tight breath, raised shoulders, and clinging to your steering wheel because also you are part of traffic, honey? Like, how are we showing up? Can we be more calm in that? I'll ask myself while I'm walking the dog, why am I trying to make her move really fast and pull her along and feel like we need to go on like the fastest, longest walk? She is perfectly fine taking two steps and sniffing. Like, what is this here? But yeah, the mirrors thing, as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about today, I know we kind of mentioned this on the call before getting into this, but inner mastery is so hard to explain in a tangible way, because you're like, it's the foundation and the structure, and it's the framework that you use for all of life, and that's it. And you're like, and then you do it, and you're like, yeah, that's it. But like, oh my God, what are we talking about? So, mirrors is
Precisely.
what I was trying to think of some really tangible things to share, but mirrors is one of those ones that just. It really is one of the things that I see most frequently. And the more you see it, the more you can't unsee it. And it's also funny because the more you have those conversations and you bring it up to the people in your life and you make comments on it and you start to witness it yourself, then the people around you start chiming in. And mind you, I did not say they start noticing, right? Like this whole time, everyone else sees your mirror so much better than you see them normally. But like, it's just finding the verbiage to finally share it with you, probably. But I just funny story, but how it's reflected back. For my birthday, we went horseback riding and it was a grand old time. We giggled the whole time. And my horse was one of the ones, like, it just stayed on the side of the trail and it would just whip its head down every few steps to grab like a huge bunch of grass or leaves. And it was just moving slowly. And anytime I would like want him to go a little bit faster, he would like try to take off running. And it was just a whole adventure, right? And we get home and I'm talking to my boyfriend about it. And I was like, ah, my horse just had Roxy energy. That's my dog, And I'm talking about him. Like, he was here for the snacks. Like, he didn't want to go anywhere. Blah, blah, blah. And my boyfriend just stops. And this is after inner mastery. And he's like, so babe, sounds like the horse has that energy and Roxy has that energy. So it sounds like it might be your energy. And I was like, damn. That is a mirror. Like, thank you. You are right. I am just here for the snacks. I am gonna go at my own pace and you cannot rush me. I know where I need to go and when, and I can hurry up if I want, but I'm not going to. And I am absolutely a flight risk if I'm bored. Like it's, you kind of, you're like, oh yeah. But anyway, it's just funny because you start to see it and it's just so obvious, and it's probably so obvious to the people in your life,
And this, I like to also use the word like the pathways, right? Because I think that's, I would say probably like module one, two, and three is really about creating the pathways of just noticing your patterns and noticing how you can shift in them. I really love that example. And I was, coming back to you're talking about dissecting the narratives that you hold to be true. And I really, really loved that because I think that's also a big part, I would say, maybe of module three, where we dive into some four, I can't remember which module, where we dive into some shadow work where we pull these stories to the surface. And I also love that you're talking about moving with your hands. So I'm going to bridge these two topics, and I'm going to ask you if you want to share a little bit about what your method looks like. I'm all about energy work being the methodless method. I've got some women who really deepen, close their eyes, go really, really still. I've got some women who pace their homes while they're doing energy work. I've got some women integrating it into their mothering practices. What does your method look like?
It really just depends, but really simply, first and foremost, I photosynthesize. I just go sit in the sun and just like download. I'm like, it is healing me. That is just a big part of my practice, is showing up in life in that way. But really tangibly, it's just dropping in and grounding. And I feel really strongly about spending my time there, feeling very anchored, feeling very protected, showing up fully, clearing anything that's holding me back. And then just visualizing either an analogy, if that makes sense, or like I said, naming a best case scenario and trying to integrate it into my nervous system. And so I, one of the examples I have actually from this week, I have a number of Airbnbs. One of them is at the beach. And I've been talking to my partner. We've kind of agreed it's, I think this is probably going to be our last summer with that one. And so we're just like, yeah, we're going to really knock it out of the park. This is going to, we've put in a lot of work to this house. This is going to be the summer. We just really rake it in, like final stretch, do it upright. And in the past, you know, everything comes in waves. And so if we've had a downtime, normally she and I can kind of touch base and we'll both meditate on it. And normally what it looks like is kind of a visualization of sorts for me. And I kind of paint whatever home or space it is, kind of going room by room, visualizing as if I'm painting it with just a huge ray of golden white light. And then I try to visualize the people and the energy and the lives and the feeling that those people will have. So families running out of their car up to the front porch and that excitement, or people being in the backyard laying in the hammock and like you smell the grill, right? Like just people rushing and fighting for the bathroom while they get ready. I'm feeling myself there. And normally that will generate some sort of activity. And so in the past month or so, that one has just been kind of sitting. It's ramping up into its season. And but it's been a little weird that it's been so quiet. And so my business partner and I talked about it and we'd been trying to meditate. And I told her the other day, I said, you know, I've been really trying and it's, I can't explain it, but I can't feel it. I can't feel myself there. I can't feel it at all. Like I don't know what that means, but I do know that it means something. And I just, I'm gonna leave that there and I'll come back. And so I'm thinking about this. I'm in, it's Monday evening. We're in the car on the way to pickleball. My boyfriend's just like listening to music. We're kind of having our brief little internal moment after a long work day. And I'm thinking back to this and like, I want to crush the summer. I know every other thing that I've tried that is normally a code that will work isn't working. We have like the perfect vendors now. We've done our preseason tune-ups. We've restocked every pouring in of love. Has not yet yielded what it normally will. Normally, it's kind of an energy exchange, and I'll kind of see it happen. We'll buy some new supplies, and then all of a sudden, we'll get a big booking, and none of that's happening. So I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, I can't feel it. I can't feel it. And I think to myself, why can I not feel myself there? And I think, well, because I don't feel that property at all. I don't feel
Wow.
it in my aura. I don't feel tethered to it in any way. I cannot even place where it is. And so I take that analogy. I want to talk about analogies in a minute more, but like I take that analogy and I say, okay, what would it, if it was tethered, that means we're tied together. So I visualize a string coming from me, a string coming from the house, and I tie it in my mind as if I'm tying a shoe. And I just remember thinking, oh, that's it. I just wasn't tethered. Now we're good. And literally that whole thing, I know I just rambled, but that took all of 3 minutes, you know, and I snap out of it. We go play pickleball. By the end of the first game, we have one booking. Within 24 hours, we have three. And I just woke up and we have another. And in 5 days, we've made like more than
Wow.
$5,000. Yeah.
Wow. What? Oh, I love this.
The analogy thing is something that's really helped me in
Yes.
life and in
Same.
business because it feels so obvious, but it's also not, you know, and we did this the other day, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But when you know, the first time I heard this, you were talking about this in inner mastery and it's one of the ones that people love to use, one of the ones that makes a lot of sense when you explained it to us is the analogy of carrying a lot of like carrying a lot or juggling a lot, right? If someone comes to you and they say, oh, I just have so much in the air and like everything is moving and like I have too much to hold and everything keeps coming my way and I'm juggling all this and like it's all gonna become fall, and you're like, oh, who gave you the balls? You know, and like I'm not gonna lie, the
Yes.
first time you ask a question like that, you're like, excuse you. You are not with the program. We are spiraling and you are not with me. Like, no.
Yes.
And, but then you stop and you're like, oh, we actually, those are the perfect questions to ask. Like, she's not trying to be so metaphorical. There's a reason on a basic biological level that that was the instinct and automatic word that you chose. So, like, let's look at that. Who gave them to you? Do they want to Do you want to carry them? What happens if you drop them? Could you put them down? Would they break? Could you carry just one? Like, you start to break that down and you realize that there's so much more to it. And so, I think when you do that, you're putting words to things that seem so hard to explain, and it makes it so much easier. And you and I had a one-on-one session the other week. I was doing kind of a little sabbatical of sorts, and I was trying to decide. I'm at a place in shifting my business and what I'm taking on and what I want to be doing. And I'm trying to decide if there were things that I want to let go of or pivot. And I was like, I'm a balloon in the clouds. Like, there is a small string tethering me to earth. And you're like, okay, what if we put a box around it? I'm like, no. Like, why would there be a box here? There's no box. And you were like, okay, well, is the wind enough? Like, will you know where you need to be when it takes you? I'm like, yes. And by the end of the week, I was like, I am untethered. I'm floating away. There is no string. You know, like, but it made me realize
Yes.
that actually, no, the thing that I was thinking of possibly letting go is actually something that was providing a lot of structure in my life, and very much was what was seen as a tether and holding me back is actually exactly the tether that I wanted in my life. And so, anyway, you get what I'm saying with all of that, but it's just been very interesting to see all of that tie together and empower other people to start thinking in those simple, again, simple
Yeah.
questions.
And this is, I want to just insert a little. That's not disclaimer, but a little dialogue around, these questions that we're asking in session. They're not, in the visualizations. These aren't, I'm sure these aren't logic. This isn't a logical question of why are you holding the balls? This is come into the body first. We have the process of fully dropping into the body before we ask these questions. And we don't have to logically come up with the solutions. We're actually just witnessing what the heart wants to tell us. And I think that's sometimes I'm sure as you noticed, even in the Voxer space in the community platform, my comment continually is, have you tried going into like the to have you tried dropping out of logic? Have you tried not figuring it out? Have you tried just witnessing what's in front of you? And that's really where it comes back to, like, how simple can it be? Almost the majority of my sessions are like, wait, 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 wait. Pull it back from the mind. What is your body showing you? How comfortable can we get with the image that is organically there? How much can we discover what is already there? Because very often the solutions are so much easier than we think they're going to be. So, yeah, I love just to give that little reminder that as we talk about the questions that we ask, there is literally no logic in these.
Right. Well, and it's again
All just
just a
heart-led.
deconstructing of the programming. One of my friends I meet with regularly, and we go on a walk, and she has been considering selling her home. And we were just talking and talking, and she was like, I can't sell all my stuff and just go travel Asia like I did in my like 30s. Like, that's, I was like, why not? I'm not trying to be a bad influence. Don't get me wrong. Like, let's work through all of it, but also let's talk about why that's not an option. Like, what in your heart, what does your heart want? If that's not what your heart wants, then by all means, don't. But I think it's really important to kind of take that perspective. You talking about how it's changed my work, that's one way that it's really changed it. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is the whole selling my house thing was like this massive realization, because it was such a tangible example of where I can take action in my life. It provided an incredible example of the power of manifestation and how that can work. It also, it changed a lot of my beliefs and allowed me to provide a structure for looking at all of that. And it ended up being the perfect opportunity to take that and really use what I was learning in inner mastery to be more intentional in what I'm creating for offers in my community. And so what I've been working on recently is creating what I'm calling a sentimental seller guide. And so I'm doing a whole series of reels around strategy and why to sell and different aspects that go into play with it. But the guide just covers like the complete heart of it all. And it includes some meditations. It includes breaking down your limiting beliefs and what you might be holding true. It also includes the recognition that selling a home, for example, is a great representation of letting go of something. And so, an invitation to let go of other things in that moment. It includes some questions to have with your family on what were your first thoughts when you saw this home? And what was your vision for it when you saw it versus like, where are we now? And when was the first time you thought it felt like home, you know? And so just bringing that reverence in, and again, it's not something that's going to slow us down. Like, it's going to be whatever my clients want, but it's something that's felt really important to put out. And so I think not being afraid to just do things differently than what you're seeing has been a big part of it.
Yeah, I love this buyer's guide you're creating. It does feel like just providing the next level of service to your clients. And in a sea of real estate agents, it's why choose you, Kate? I mean, that is the reason right there, is that I think a lot of people are We're just done. We're done with surface. We
Oh my God,
want
yes.
depth. I want depth in all of my experiences. Like, I have be my threshold for, oh, just for communication and for depth and for feeling and for magic and for intention is just so much farther than it ever has been before. And so I'm looking for all of those experiences in everything I do, whether it's with my accountant, whether it's with a real estate agent, whether it's with my, any container that I'm going to go into that typically would be more like cut and dry. I'm like, I want it to activate me, everything I do. And so I love that you're bringing that in. It's really, really exciting.
It's funny, I hadn't thought about this until you were saying that just now, but I am very much at a place where I realized I was playing small in some aspects and I'm ready to be playing big, and I'm taking a lot of action in my life, and I'm being responsible for the way I show up. And it doesn't mean I'm ascending humanness, let's be clear, like, but I am being intentional in what I'm doing. And yeah, it feels so good, because it's in some ways it feels a little selfish, because I want to be around people that are taking dramatic action in their life and understand the importance of aligned action. I can manifest all day, but without aligned action, you post about this all the time, without aligned action, none of that means anything. And
Yep.
so I guess this guide is kind of like an invitation for exploration to like change your beliefs. Like, if you want to be with me, I'm around people that are like changing beliefs. So like, start here. Yeah. I also just want people to do what's best for
Yeah.
them. And I want people to deeply know what that is. This is a little bit off topic, but in the industry I'm in, one thing I get really lit up about is I get so frustrated by all of the headlines that say it's the best time to buy or the worst time to buy, or this is what everyone should be doing. And like, it just someone is making that, and that's not, it doesn't have to be true for you. All markets are hyper local in real estate. Like, I only want what is best for each person. And I want each person to know how to find that. So I think that guide,
Yeah.
it's targeted towards sellers, but it can be used for anyone that just wants to kind of learn how to make some change in life and
I mean, it
witness
sounds like intuitive clarity to buy a house, honestly. And I
was
love
not my purpose.
that.
I just want you guys to feel comfortable with it and not the sale. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, feeling good and feeling confident and even knowing too. I mean, the experience that you give to your clients, like when they're buying with clarity and when they're buying with like a regulated, you're bringing your client to a regulated nervous system before they're about to make potentially the largest purchase of their life. And how that will also magnetize, or not magnetize, but mirror into your relationship with money as you then receive, right? The cleaner commission, I would say, right? Because when you're, I look at money, we'll talk, I want to hear your thoughts on mysterious money. But when I look at money being passed from person to person to person, I always want to say, before someone pays me, I'm like, what is your nervous system at? You're about to hand this to me and I'm about to take it from you. I'm not just taking numbers on a bank screen. Like, I'm actually taking, it's an energy exchange. And so I always ask, like in my own mind, I'm like, am I going to have to clean this exchange or am I receiving it clean? I'm happy to clean the money as I get it because, I'm not always going to receive the cleanest money in my life. That's just, we don't get that control. But I love getting to this place where I'm like, oh, the money's already clean. It's been given to me in this really regulated nervous system. And that's, part of inner mastery. I always say, like, I ever want anyone to just like scarcity join into one of my containers. I'm like, you know what? I refuse to like hard sell my course and my mentorship and my work to anyone. I'm like, you feel into your body if it's right for you.
And I'm here if you want to talk about it. And if it doesn't feel clean, I don't want it. I don't want to convince anyone to ever join anything. And so I do that with my clients, and I'm seeing and hearing you doing that in your own way, through this clean money exchange.
I love it. I know I've already said it, but that was one of my favorite workshops because,
Yeah.
again, with the analogies of one of the things, I'm not going to give it all away, but like one of the things is just how do you see money? Like who would you visualize? Is it some old cranky man, or is it like a sexy flirty gal at the bar? Like which would you want to be in relationship with? And just, and you're like, oh wow, like who is that? What is that relationship? With selling my home, that was a big part of it is, oh my gosh, I'm realizing that I am wanting to keep this asset because it would be a great fallback plan if I ever needed somewhere really cheap. Like, why? Why would I be making one of the biggest decisions about a property in scarcity? And I think so. One of the you talk about nervous system, it reminded me of something that I wanted to mention, which is in selling my house. Obviously, once that paid out, I got a very large sum that was like greater than what I'd received in a yearly salary, and so I have this spreadsheet as an entrepreneur. I have a number of funnels of income, and I have this spreadsheet that I use where anytime I receive a payment, I put it there and what it's for and group them by month. And so when I received that payout, I went in to the spreadsheet for that month and I added that amount for my home along with all of my other regular income. And I have made it a regular practice where at least weekly I will go in. Ideally, it's that I'm putting something else in that spreadsheet, but at a minimum, I'm going in and I'm just looking at that month and I'm saying, what a normal amount of money to make in a month. And then I'm just keeping it moving. Like I'm not hyping it up.
Yes.
I'm not like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. No, like that is normal. My body is so chill about that. So therefore, universe, God, et cetera, if you would like me to repeatedly get like hundreds of thousands each month, I can handle that, And one of the things that I've been leading up to is this fall, I'm releasing some products for real estate agents that are some templates. They're things that I've been really working on. And I really feel like they're going to change things and be massively successful. So fine-tuning my relationship with money is something that felt really important because I want to make sure that whenever that time comes, honey, I am ready. But talking about scarcity and things that you might not realize, I know I mentioned it on the front end, but you run into these patterns in your life, especially as an entrepreneur, that you might not realize. And so, that session that I had with you recently, I have a lot of potential changes happening in my career and trying to figure out what that looks like. And so I've realized that for a very long time, my narrative has been like, I cap out, it is time to burn it to the ground and pivot. And I want to be clear that, like, for so long, that narrative has really served me and it's been incredibly empowering. Like, I love a reinvention. I love a pivot. I love a character plot moment. Like, I am all here for them. I am a phoenix. Like, give me something to rise from, honey. I will do it with a great outfit, But that's also exhausting. And honestly, it's lazy. Like, that is playing small. That is simple abandonment, if we're going to be honest. And something that I thought was so empowering, I'm realizing was actually something that was very much limiting me. And so I wanted to explore, like, why was that an automatic program? What would it look like to do that differently? Like, what am I going to do the next time I reach a glass ceiling? Can I want to give myself the knowledge and the recognition, you can absolutely do that. And what would it look like to do the opposite? Like, what would it look like for me to carry all of this? What would it look like to expand what I'm capable of? Could I bring someone else on to do this? Do I feel like I have to do it alone? It's just, of course, I'm going to feel overwhelmed. I've never carried this much. So that's fine. But I'm doing myself a disservice if my narrative stays like burn it down and restart because otherwise, I'm being a disservice to the greatness I'm called to because I'm not showing up for all of it. And I think it's those type of things where you just are like, oh my gosh, I just never would have thought about it that way. And still, in some ways, that narrative might serve me in other aspects. But that was when even it's like it's a daily process. It's like these massive revelations where you're like, oh, I just changed something I've thought of for my whole life and that I did that today. Sure, normal,
Oh my goodness. And I'm laughing because I'm going through something very, very similar. The addiction to those big activations, Phoenix moments. And how all the women I work with are like, I want slow, I want soft, I want subtle. And I'm like, are you willing to give up your addiction to the explosions? Because that's, yeah, I can see that turning for you. It is. We have slow, soft, and subtle, and then everyone's like, it's not happening fast enough, and it doesn't feel as big as I thought it was gonna feel. And we kind of, it's like almost an adrenaline rush that we're so our nervous system is so used to, with like kind of that feeling of self-fulfillment and that feeling of self-worth gets actually tied. There's a pathway, and that we create to, oh my gosh, look how great I am. It's that, like, that feedback system. And so when we detach from those big explosion moments and we actually, refocus on expansion of where we're currently at, there can be some of those really big reckonings to sit with of like, okay, like, can I hold this? This is also where, I find the softness and the stillness comes with a lot more seasons of doubt and discomfort that we also learn to hold, because things aren't happening so quickly. You might sit in doubt and discomfort for weeks instead of, hours. And this is, don't know if you went through this with like module one and two, but a lot of the women go through it with module one and two of like, what am I supposed to do? I'm stirring all of this. Aren't we supposed to move it? And it's like, no, actually, we're not. We're not going to jump forward on week one and throw yourself into the flame. You're just going to witness it. And how much do you want to go to the end? How fast do you want to go? And can you start to hold the nervous system with some softer hands and allow the work to be slow? That doesn't mean we don't have, cosmic alignments. I find the more I actually just let the work be slow, I'm like, oh, boom, boom, boom. As you're talking about, like, the money, the house, the bank, everything fell into place, and I didn't actually have to do anything. And it is still a big explosive moment, but not on my part. It's a big explosive moment from the universe. And that's the really good shift that I want to get women into.
It just talking about seasons, I know we've kind of mentioned that, but that was one thing that I felt like you really harnessed and fine-tuned a good message on about living cyclically. I know I mentioned it a little bit
Yes.
about that agent that I met with, but the media, especially Instagram, et cetera, they're so good at starting to understand cyclical living in a very cut and paste way. Okay, during this part of your month, then this is what you should be working out, or how you should be working out, or what you should be eating, but
Yeah.
I think it's so nuanced to you and who you are and how you're showing up. And I think that was something that you did a really good job of explaining and breaking it down specific to each person and recognizing that although we might be getting better at living cyclically on a month-to-month basis or maybe even quarterly, the larger cycles of our lives, the years of a rest or the year of spring, summer, fall, winter, like what would it look like to show up to our life in that way that we are still working on? And again, bringing it back to like the harvesting analogy, I really liked for that. And so I think when people feel stuck or when things feel forced, it can be really important to evaluate what part of your season you're in. And that can
Yes.
be so important. It's something that I feel like I've been really trying to work on in my own life, and on a monthly basis. Like I mentioned, I took a little bit of like a week-long sabbatical, right? And I tried to make sure they didn't know this, but I was very intentional about making sure that was planned during the time of the month where I am always the most creative, because I knew I was going to be brainstorming an entire guide that I wanted to make and brain dumping reels I was going to make. Now, when I know I have a lot of office work to do, I'm going to do it during the time of my cycle where I just don't want to see anyone and I can hibernate and hunker down. Or, it just the guides that I'm or the excuse me, the resources that I'm going to be providing to agents in the fall, it was an idea that I had had back in December of last year, and I really old narrative wanted to go, go, go. The narrative that I had was you better hurry or it's going to be someone else is going to do this. And I was going to rush and put it out, and that would be in the middle of moving three different houses and selling and, you know, all of these things. And we got to that part of seasons and I was like, yeah, you know, I actually feel really good about doing that in the fall, planting it in the spring, using the summer to really dive in and launching it in the fall. That feels so much more natural than forcing it. And actually, I think that it will be even stronger than what I need. So I think that's been really important as well.
Yeah, cyclical living has been such a game changer for me. And I found it takes, I think it's probably about a year of really orienting to it and kind of putting myself into the seasons, both monthly with the moon and my body and also seasonally with the earth. And now, probably about 2 years ago, my husband and I are like, oh, things just happen cyclically. Like, we don't actually have to try to put ourselves into that structure. Like, I look especially back at the past 6 months of, you know, going through postpartum, right after I had my baby, was like the dead of winter. We slowly emerged. We started looking at houses in the spring. We bid, and then we're closing on solstice, which is so exciting. We got our closing date and I'm like, oh, it's, of course it's solstice. Of course it is. And so, you know, that's like kind of a grander vision. There's so many other things that are moving, you know, in my marriage and my mothering and my business cyclically, but it's stuff like that where I just look back at all the dates and I'm like, oh, you know, of course we weren't finding the house that we wanted to in March. It wasn't time. Of course, it didn't come to me in February. I was still planting the seeds. I was still tending to the soil. We were still moving ideas. And I thought I knew exactly where we wanted to live in February. And then it wasn't working out. We couldn't figure out how to make it work. There was just all these roadblocks we were hitting. So we decided to, you know, dissect the narrative of believing that we needed to live in this one neighborhood in this specific lifestyle in the specific way. We started really turning the soil on that. And then by, you know, May, it just clicked in for us and then boom. So it's been really, really exciting to see. And yeah, I love cyclical living. We have just a little bit left. And is there, I was going to ask if you have any advice for women who are either in real estate or who want to get into real estate.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Because it seems like you're having so much success in your business. And so really.
I think it's just, find what excites you and don't be afraid if that looks different from other people. Know that everyone is going to tell you a million ways that you should do it. And you can take some of those and definitely try them out. Try everything, but don't feel that as you try everything, you are continuing to pile on more. There's only so much time in the day. You can't be doing more, more, more. That will burn you out. That is not what people want. Make sure that you are setting expectations with your clients and setting your value and what you stand for early. You decide the clients that you work with, you magnetize them. So as you're getting started, try it all, but then also just be really intentional about recognizing the parts that light you up and what you already do in life that lights you up, and playing with the idea of, what if I just showed up more fully in my community? What if that's what served people and built my business? So that's what I love.
I love that. And do you have any piece of advice for anyone listening to this who are wondering about inner mastery and if it's going to help their business or their life?
I think I mentioned a number of reasons I signed up and things that I had learned from being in your orbit up until then that really helped. But I would just say, and this isn't a sales pitch, you know, but like, just what did it take for me to finally sign up? I just finally said, am I done making excuses? You know, like, I was in a place I could financially afford it. I'd had my eye on it for a year. Enrollment was going to end soon. I had growth that I wanted to do. I said I wanted a coach. I knew I wanted structure for that. And I had already learned so much. So like I mentioned before, like, the signing up was an initiation, because you really have to say, like, am I going to invest in myself and my growth and know that my growth might not look like what I thought it would, but it's there for me. Or am I comfortable staying where I am and not taking action? Because if you don't take action, then it's on you for where you're staying, you know? And I think that's really important. So I would just say, go into it with no expectation at all, but also know that it is what is going to serve you for the rest of your life. Like it is hard to explain. It sounds so silly. I know it's like annoying because you're like, I still don't get what I am getting. You won't get it. You might get it in pieces. You'll get it as you go through it. And then at the end, it's like a massive revelation and it just all ties together and it works. And it works for you. And I think that that is big because it's not, it's not a band-aid.
It is hard to explain these things because they are so subtle. And they are, I think they're things we know with our mind. We know them with logic. But really, when I look at why I created this container, it was to kind of force some accountability into embodiment of what we know. We know our bodies are wise. We know our hearts are wise. We know our bodies are always healing and are always leading us. We know our wombs are wise. But what does it look like to actually funnel yourself into those spaces to hear the truth? So,
Anyway, thank you. That you say that because as you were saying it, I just wrote biological. Like it, one of the things that there's so much kind of fluff and it's a lot of mindset and it can feel very intuitive, but also not. But at the end of the day, it also can provide a huge peace of mind for being able to witness where things in our life are simply biological programs. And giving ourselves the permission for that to be okay. Like if you are going through some massive grief, like that, of course you feel that way, like that it, you have every permission for this and witnessing that, witnessing when your body is holding a score and maybe it's a season that your body is going through. I know that was something that you mentioned. I think that that can happen too. And just taking a step back and feeling kind of that undercurrent and knowing that it's there for you, but it also doesn't have to define where you're headed.
Yeah, there's a little bit of opportunity to separate, but to witness what's going on with your human, with your primal being, and to witness that from the spiritual lens and kind of to have some compassion for your primal programs that are running and then say, okay, that's... I love my body for doing that, but maybe I want to take it elsewhere on a spiritual level.
I was trying to decide if I was going to share this, but I guess I'll kind of tie it together with this. I haven't shared this publicly in any way, but kind of talking about biologically and talk about kind of recognizing and witnessing and embodying and also releasing it for what it is. You talked about it's like module 1 and 2. They work together and it feels great. And then they kind of whoop your ass. Like it sure does out of nowhere, you know? And so I had started Inner Mastery and, you know, everything was great, but I will say like as it was starting about a year prior, I had experienced a loss. And so, generally speaking, it was something I'm very at peace with. It's something that I don't gaslight myself and say everything happens for a reason, but it is truly changed who I am as a person, the depth at which I show up in life. And obviously it was very hard physically and emotionally, but I hold it with a lot of reverence. That said, grief is like crazy, right? So as Inner Mastery is getting started, everything is going great. I'm living my best life. I'm thriving. But the anniversary of finding out we were expecting it was right then. And so I had this undercurrent in my body that I could very much feel of kind of a reliving of trauma that it was trying to process, right? This is exactly when this was happening last year. I felt kind of my body almost fortifying, like we are getting ready to fight for something, you know? And so I'm sitting here witnessing, we talk about witnessing all through module 1 and module 2 hits. And I'm like, this is great. Life is great. I'm doing amazing. I'm sitting in my brand new home on the ground because we haven't even moved our furniture in yet. And I'm opening mail and I open a letter and it's from collections. And just instantly I feel rage. And so for a little context, my loss, unfortunately, resulted in a visit to the hospital. And while I was there, I was quoted $1,500 and I ended up getting a bill for $11,000. So highly dysregulating on so many levels and just so primal in what I wanted to fight for, right? But I'd been fighting with the hospital ever since then and ended up losing. And so my last correspondence with them had been a denial of that, and I would be getting a bill. Okay, great. But I didn't get a bill. I got this letter from collections and it just felt like a smack in the face, you know, like enraged. How dare you? Like, how dare you have no reverence for this? You know, like I just sobbed a shit ton and I tried to work it out at the gym and it just, none of it was working. It wasn't clearing. And obviously it's a big emotion, but it's frustrating. Right. And so I'm walking home and I'm just enraged. Like, oh my God, I could fight someone right now. Like I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm like putting my hand in my fist. Like I could fight someone right now. Like primally, mama bear in me, let me not run into someone, you know? And I just hear, I hear your voice in module one or two, where you're like, okay, how can we make it playful? And I'm like, I'm gonna beat your ass right now. And I'm like, okay, that is unhinged. Like we are not there yet. You know, like, okay, we can witness that for what it is. Like it added a lot of levity. I definitely felt like I had completely lost it, but I was like, okay, let's maybe book a rage room. It feels like there's like an undercurrent of violence we need to address that you need to release, you know, like let's not sidestep it. At a minimum, I'm definitely going to scream in the car. That's like major passion of mine when it comes to releasing things, but it did help add perspective because it made me stop and truly witness myself in the spiral, like allowed the spiral, but also witnessed it. Like, absolutely, absolutely. This is how I feel. My heart has been ripped out onto a piece of paper and handed back to me on some cheap ass bill around an anniversary. Like, how dare you? Of course I feel that way. Of course, the biological mama bear in me is roaring her heart out and I'm protecting what I can't protect. And so biologically, like that is the program I'm running and it is hard and it is raw. But it is so perfectly biologically designed. And so like, holy shit, what a depth of humanity I can feel. Like to carry that grief is something that no one can understand. And so, you know, we talk about it all the time, but the way I kind of associate it, I love the movie Soul. Like that's kind of how I picture it. Like our little soul is sitting in the stars somewhere, like waiting to jump in and like, they are seeing the full humanness of it all. They're experiencing, they're seeing that full depth of emotion. And to be human is to experience the depth of it. And so to know that is, that's part of it. And so I'm not here to fix it. I'm here to fully witness it. And actually that's exactly why I came here. And so like, how can I make it even bigger of who I am? And so anyway, I just wanted to like share that because I think, you know, it was something that on a very like annual level, my body was processing. It just so happened to time up perfectly. It did not change the outcome, right? Like don't get me wrong. I was like, excuse me, universe. I signed up for inner mastery. I invested in myself. Like I am here to do the good work, good things only. And here you are whooping my ass. But we're not here to ascend humanness. We're here to figure out how to hold ourselves through it. And I think inner mastery just really helps with that. I had written this down because I was thinking about this. You had mentioned it when we did our one-on-one the other day, and I was thinking about if I were to share this is something I wanted to kind of circle back to, because what you had said then I feel applies to this. But talking about when you're in community with people and the way that they respond maybe isn't what you want, right? Like we were talking about this in a business sense, but thinking about it in terms of grief, like grief is such a difficult emotion to understand. It is an emotion that hold so many more emotions in it. So this is a complete projection, but in my experience, a big part of grief is the anger or frustration or the disappointment that comes from the people in your corner not fully understanding what you're going through or being able to grasp it. Like they see you, they are listening, they care about you, they know you like no one else. And yet still somehow they don't know what to say or how to say it in the way that it shows up with the gravity that you're experiencing it. And like, how can they not grasp that, you know? And that can be so difficult. And of course that is hard. And of course that can be emotional. And maybe it is only you for you to understand the depth of. Like, maybe it is only for you to understand or to be able to articulate, and like, can that be enough? And I think inner mastery is about that. Like, can you knowing be enough, even if no one else can? That's it.
Yeah, can you be enough, just period, and learning how to hold space for yourself? I really appreciate you sharing that story here. I think it will relate with a lot of women who have walked that path. I know it's related with my ability mm-hmm. in walking that path myself. And I am curious, did you end up going to the rage room?
No. I didn't need to. Screaming in the car just really works for me, I gotta say. Yeah.
And I really honor you for
not even in like a angry way, but sometimes if I'm going into a meeting and I'm not feeling confident in knowing that I'm going to know what to say, or leading up, I didn't do it for this one because I felt really good about it. But like other podcasts, mm-hmm. I'll sometimes scream because I'm like, it's just, you're clearing your throat chakra. You're clearing, yeah. That is where the energy is being held. And so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And it's, as you said, like the throat chakra, but also just the going back to the biological response of like the rage of the mother. You know, as you said, like you call it the mama bear rage of like, how dare you? And allowing yourself, it sounds so simple. And I think a lot of women are like, oh yeah, 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 I have anger, I should scream sometime. But like, are you actually screaming sometime? And how much that can shift when you're able to finally clear it. And it is, you know, as much as we're spiritual beings, we are also very physical beings. And of course, it's the same chakra. It's the same throat, regardless of we're talking body or spirit, but being able to release from it can be so powerful. And yeah, I'm really, really honoring you and sharing this story today. All of your stories, truly.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to share them.
You're welcome, Kate.
I'm jealous of everyone going through it again. I'm not sure if it will make this on the cut, but I was looking at your pricing and I have long thought it's worth way more than you pay for it. And even now, it is worth way more than what you're paying for it.
Thank you. It's always been my goal to make it more of an... my goal has been to keep the payments under a payment option under $200 a month. Because I always think back to where I was when I really first started my journey. And for some reason, at that point in my life, if something was under $200 a month, I felt like I could do it. And I don't know if everyone's there, but like when we were living paycheck to paycheck, I felt like I can weasel out under $200 a month. And so in honor to myself and my own first leap that I took, which was actually way more than $200 a month, I like to keep that there. So thank you for that. If the people want to find you, how can they connect with you? If I've got real estate girlies looking for a connect, where can you tell us where you are a real estate agent for someone maybe who's looking for, wants someone in your area and how they can find you?
Yes, I would love that. I am a real estate agent in Raleigh, North Carolina. I do a lot virtually, so I work there. I also work in Austin, Texas. I'm not an agent there. Austin is where I live, but I bop back and forth between the two. I would love to be in community either in person or online. You can find me on Instagram at Sarah Kate Holmes. That's Sarah, no H, Kate Homes. Or you can send me an email at kate@choiceresidential.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's been great chatting.
Likewise. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Wraps up today. Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with Kate, you can find her on Instagram at Sarah Kate Holmes or email her Kate@choiceresidential.com. If you are interested in joining Inner Mastery for round 3, it is a 12-week group training program with live calls, recorded modules, PDF journals, home play, breakout one-on-one groups, a community platform, and so much more. In this course, you will learn the basics and foundations of energy work, mapping your inner world, making choices from a clear and clean intuition, shadow integration, and most importantly, the power of magnetic manifestation. We begin round 3 on June 23rd, 2024, and you can find more through my Instagram at The Primal Priestess.